Come, Holy Ghost, fill the hearts of thy faithful and kindle in them the fire of thy love. Send forth thy Spirit and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, who didst teach the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Ghost, grant us that by the same Spirit we may be always truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through Christ our Lord. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Saint Joseph, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. So we're going to do chapter 65, page 130. That's the services of the church to the state. Now you see, this chapter might, the title of this chapter might be a little bit misleading. As it might seem as though, if you just read the title, that the church is just some sort of service department for the state, you know. No, they're two separate entities and two perfect societies. They have their own government, their own laws, their own purposes. And they're on the thing that joins the church and state are the people for whom they work. The citizens of the state require then, of course, the work of the state government, and the members of the church, who are the same people, they require the services from the church. And so it is the church that works for the people's salvation, the state for their temporal welfare. And so there's two different societies, and the same people belong to both of them. Members of the church, of the Catholic Church that live here in the United States, members of our nation, citizens, they are then under two different governments, the church government and the state government. And they have each their particular purpose. So looking at this chapter, we have, even before the chapter begins, a little sort of a bit of information. Eminent Catholics, it's called. The pages of history are filled with the names of Catholics outstanding in literature, science, art, progress, and learning of every description. The following is only a partial list of those who were known alike for their devotion to the Catholic faith and their contributions to art and science. So these are Catholics that were eminent figures in world history. Astronomy, the first heading under it. Cassini, Clavius, Copernicus, Divinco, Galileo, Gassendi, Laplace, Piazzi, Secchi, and Wallingford in astronomy. So famous Catholic astronomers. They were not doing some kind of satanic astronomy. They were just studying the universe, right? Biology, Bernard, Carnoy, Titusian, Fabre, Latrell, O'Dwyer, Schwann, and Wendel. Botany, Salopinus, Mendel, Charles, and Louis Toulouse, right? Another French. Chemistry, Agricola. That actually is Latin for a farmer, by the way. He's a chemist, though. Becquerel, Chevreul, Desprez, Dumas, Hoy, Lavoisier, Paracelsus, Pasteur, Schwartz, Valentine, Van Helmont, right? Electricity, Ampere. This is the one that I know. The amp. It's a measure of electrical volume, right? The amp comes from Ampere. He was a Catholic. Car, Caselli, Cherboni, Coulomb, Foucault, Galvani, Glynn, Gordon, Graham, Nullet, Marconi, Plant, and Volta. So we get our volts, right? So volts and amps both come from Catholic electricians. And then, of course, I suppose that ohms and watts come from non-Catholics. I don't know. Nevertheless, you can imagine, you know, all of them were scientists. They didn't have to be non-Catholic to be scientist. Geology, Cola, Colonna, Delaunay, Harley, Hari, without the L, Muller, Spada, and Stenson. Mathematics, Borgo, Bostrovich, Cauchy, Charles, Ferrari. Ferrari was a mathematician. Mang, Plandes, Sestini, and Vieta. Mechanics, Boselli, Burke, Castelli, Charpentier, Jeffrey, Mariette, Pascal. Musicians, Bellini, Elgar, Gounod, Haydn, Mascagni, Mozart, Palestrina, Perosi, Verdi. Medicine, Avenbrugger, Columbus, de Caliac, Fabricius, Lancest, Morganji, Muller, Murphy, Pasteur, Santorio, Theodoric, and Vesalius. Navigation and exploration, Balboa, Butler, Cabot, Columbus, Christopher Columbus, by the way, De Soto, Cortez, Durer, Hennepin, Magellan, Marco Polo, Marquette, Orellana, Ponce de Leon, and Santa Cruz. And painting and sculpture, some of the best artists are the Catholic ones. Fra Angelico, Bernini, Canova, Correggio, Giotto, Leonardo da Vinci, Michelangelo, Murillo, Raphael, Rubens, Andrea del Sarto, Titian, and Velázquez. There was one that they didn't mention, that was St. Luke. St. Luke was the one who did Our Lady of Perpetual Help, right? Yeah, I got it. He was also, St. Luke. It was a painter. Physics, Babinet, Bacon, Biot, Dulong, Fresnel, Fizeau, Grimaldi, Malus, Mollet, Plotto, Reginald, Schwann, Zamboni. Reminds me of ice hockey. Printing, Gutenberg, Mergenthaler, Welfare, Berry, Castellan, Frosch, Joffre, Petain, and Sobieski. So it's just an incomplete list, but some of the major names that have contributed great things to civil society, and they were Catholics. So, services of the church and the state. The first question, of what benefit is the church to the state? And so the church is essential for the welfare of the state, for it upholds the government, directs its members to obey just laws, prevents crimes, incites to the practice of civic virtues, encourages to noble endeavor, and unites different nations in one brotherhood, so that there's less international strife. Right? Another thing about this whole thing about the church being of service to the state, you just take a look into history, and you see how the countries and kings of old ruled their people, and the people without religion were paganistic and selfish, whereas with religion, they begin to improve themselves and think more of others. The law that Jesus taught us of brotherly love, loving our neighbors, we think of the good of our neighbors more. And then society begins to work more properly, because when we take care of each other more like we should, then the social nature of man comes to its fruition and shows how good society can be when people are looking out not just for themselves but for each other too. And it's helping one another is something that is coming from a supernatural virtue, that is that of charity. So in the olden days we had lots of devilry, lots of witchcraft, It's coming back more now, but it's because the power of the church is being diminished. But when the church is strong in the state is free from all kinds of evils, much more free from them, that it would not be free from had the church not been present and operating well within the state. Hey, there is no better citizen than a good Catholic. He obeys the state because his religion teaches him that all lawful authority comes from God. Who can be a more law-abiding citizen than one who looks upon his civil officials as superiors that God himself bids to obey him to obey them? Plutarch says that religion is a better protection for the city than its walls. Now, there was a time when the cities had to be walled, you know, to keep the bandits and invaders out. The church teaches its children to make sacrifices for the common good. Thus, it trains unselfish, thrifty, and industrious members of the state. A man with no religion seldom makes a good citizen. He's liable to try always to get as much as he can, even at the expense of others. A man without religion generally ends without any morality whatever. The prisons are in general peopled not by practicing members of the church, but by people who neglected religion. Only God knows the number of those who have been turned from the paths of sin and crime on account of their connection with the church. Jesus using his church to make us wicked sinners into just and good people. The church is our medicine. It's divine medicine. So it helps the state because you know, that's what they just told us. You know, the prisons are not really full of church-going people. The church not only prevents crimes but incites works of charity. It teaches the merit of works of mercy from its teachings, but forth orphanages, schools, hospitals, social service, etc. The greatest statesmen and patriots have recognized the necessity of religion in the state. Without religion among its citizens, the state would soon collapse. The Catholic Church teaches the best religion, that is, the one taught by God himself. Yeah, it's certainly the best, but that's an understatement. The rest of them are counterfeit, even if there's something good about them. Washington said, "Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. In vain would that man claim to the tribute of patriotism who should labor to subvert the great pillars of human happiness, these firmest props of the duties of men and citizens." Machiavelli wrote, "The surest sign of ruin in a state is the neglect of religion." Napoleon himself confessed that no nation could endure without religion. By a common profession of faith, a common membership of the same body, and by the commandment of charity, the church binds different nations into one brotherhood. The brotherhood of men, children of one God. Such a feeling of brotherhood would help greatly towards eliminating sectional and racial prejudices and strife. Is it not a historical fact that national quarrels and wars have increased since the division of Christendom into sects, meaning, of course, the Protestantism, Protestant revolt? Today, the term brotherhood of men seems to be a mere figure of speech which most people have no faith in. But before, of course, Protestantism, it was, Roman Catholicism was the church, period. What has the church actually accomplished for the state during over the 1900 years of existence? The history of all civilized nations gives ample testimony to the valuable services of the church to civil government during a period of over 1900 years. The greatest accomplishment of the church was the Christianization of Europe, from whence we have derived whatever we call civilization today. If we compare the truly Christian civilization with a pagan life and culture, we can see the greatness of the service the church has rendered to the state. Ignorance and immorality are usually partners. For this reason, the church eagerly promotes culture and education. The church looks upon the world as coming from the hand of God. Therefore, the church is interested in science. study of the things of the creatures. The church has always striven to provide schools for the education of the young. It founded great universities. From the very beginning, the missions, parishes, monasteries, and cathedrals had schools. No less than 80 universities were built in the days when the Pope was supreme in Christendom. Of these, many still exist, though under different control. The encouragement given by the Pope's advanced education, medicine, surgery, literature, chemistry, mathematics, and other sciences. Numerous religious orders and congregations have from the earliest times devoted themselves to education. The Church preserved the great works of ancient heathen philosophers and historians, saving them from destruction for future ages. So, preserving of the teachings of ancient pagan philosophers. Right? In the Middle Ages, before the invention of the printing, monks patiently and carefully copied and transcribed the ancient works. Their zeal for learning built up the great libraries and museums. The most profound and prolific authors were Catholic. So great a patron of art and architecture is the Church that a saying became current, there is no art outside the Catholic Church. Practically all the world's classic painters have been members of the Church and were supported in their work by the popes. We need only mention Raphael, Da Vinci, and Michelangelo. To this day, thousands of tourists every year gaze in wonder at the great cathedrals of the Middle Ages, which stand unsurpassed. The popes encouraged musicians like Palestrina. Plain chant or Gregorian music comes to us from St. Ambrose and St. Gregory the Great. The noblest musical works are products of the great genius of sons of the Church, of whom we need mention only Gounod, Haydn, Mozart, Verdi. Priests and monks, not to mention lay members of the Church, have contributed some of the greatest discoveries to human knowledge. In physical science, the deacon Gioja discovered the magnet and compass. The Jesuit Kircher experimented with the first burning glass. The canon Copernicus taught his famous system. The Jesuit Cavalier worked out the components of white light. The Jesuit Secchi made fruitful studies concerning sunspots. The Franciscan Berthold Schwartz discovered gunpowder. Other scientific works by priests and monks, the Dominican Spina discovered the use of spectacles. Benedictine Pontius invented a method of teaching deaf mutes. The Dominican Calandoni invented a typesetter to take the place of the compositor. The monk Veit discovered the scale and rules of harmony in music. Pope Gregory XIII reformed the calendar, keeping track of time. Right? The Church helped establish free and stable governments. It civilized the barbarians. Through the Benedictines, Cistercians, and Trappists, it reclaimed whole tracts of wastelands. The Church cared for the poor, the sick, the orphaned, the old, the helpless. It helped open hospitals, ransomed captives, freed slaves. Pope Innocent III is known as the father of hospitals. But who but the Church insisted on the dignity of the soul of even the poorest slave in an age when the class distinctions were rampant? Who but the Church rescued woman from degradation and formed that beautiful institution, the Christian family? The Church stood for the liberties of the people against the encroachments of the tyrants. It has ever stood for the poor against the oppressions of the rich. It has stood for the maintenance of authority against the violence of rebellious subjects. The whole history of Christian education, Christian civilization, has the mark of the Church. So, that's an interesting chapter. It's a kind of a reflection on the fact that God cares about our eternal salvation, first and foremost, and yet also He cares that we have a life on this earth which reflects God's order, God's knowledge, God's beauty, so that He wants the earth to be also a reflection of its Creator, and as good as it can be, in the production of saints. And so the physical sciences are also, you know, God's product, God's creation. And to know those sciences well, we have to always continually reflect. These sciences that we know, mathematics, geography, history, electricity, all the other things, realizing God made those things the way they are. And when I study them, I see the order that God put in those things and see how it is a reflection of His orderly mind. God's mind is in perfect order. He's the perfect being. And His creatures reflect Him in various ways here and there, like a diamond which has the brilliant cut, you know, reflects different colors of light out of it. When you get the sunlight hitting it, and you see blue, a spot of blue here, bright, dazzling blue here, then you have a red here, and a yellow here, and a green there, and all the various shades of the rainbow come out, you see that God has put all those colors and made white light out of it. And then if you divide the colors up again, you can see the different, you sense the different colors. And you see the beauty and the order of God's mind is given to us in creation, and all the physical sciences and all the needs of human living are, God knows them, as the gospel teaches us, you know. Seek first the kingdom of God and His justice and all these things, you know. He knows you need clothing and food and shelter. He knows that. And the heathens make it too important. As he said, seek the kingdom of God and all these things will be provided. Well, God knows we need these things. We know it too. And to study them, we see how God has provided us these things. So, good. Any questions on this chapter? It was a very interesting chapter. The connection between earth and its creator. We'll conclude. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. St. Pius X. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen.